It's time for Mac Break Weekly. It's the hour after the Apple iPhone event. And Alex is here. Andy is here. We brought in Micah Sargent, who joined me for the event. And of course, I am not here. I'm in Rhode Island. But we're going to talk about Apple's new phones, their new watches, and a whole lot more next on Mac Break Weekly.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 886, recorded Tuesday, September 12th, 2023. That'll be $800, Chachi. This episode of Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. New hires can cost up to $4,700, so you better get it right if you're investing that much. You can get hiring right with ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers posting on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/MACBREAK to try ZipRecruiter for free. And by our friends at IT Pro TV, now called ACI Learning. Keep your IT team skills up with the speed of technology. Visit go.acilearning.com/twit. TWiT listeners receive at least 20% off or as much as 65% off an IT Pro Enterprise Solution Plan. Just complete the form and you'll get a quote based on the size of your team. That's go.acilearning.com/twit. And by ExpressVPN. Stop letting big tech leech on your data freely. Use this link right now and you can get 3 extra months free on a 1-year package. ExpressVPN.com/MacBreak. Get protected with a VPN rated number 1 by CNET, TechRadar, and most importantly, me.
It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we talk to the foremost Mac watchers of the world. Yes, I'm choosing to use that as the introduction. I am Micah Sargent, who is fresh off watching the Apple September iPhone Wonderlust event. Joining us from all around the world at this point, we've got in the far left corner. Well, let's go to the right.
It's kind of all around Rhode Island.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a taste from Rhode Island. It's Leo Laporte.
You wouldn't think you could really get all around Rhode Island.
When's the last time you did a remote
utility
show?
Utility room, not the basement today. We just got off the Apple event, you and me.
We did. But okay, well, before that, it's been a while since you've been remote.
I've done the show during COVID. I did the show, I think, sometimes remote. And then I've never done it actually anywhere but my house.
Wow. How do you feel?
As far as I can remember. In the early days of TWiT, we would go to bars and do it. Maybe that counts.
Sure.
It's a little weird. Plus, it's a little muggy here, Andy and I go. It's a little sweaty. I don't know how you survived that.
I'm sorry. I left the windows open to the state. It's a small state. I forgot.
All this humidity coming down from New York. By the way, you'll be glad to know I have been imbibing the local food and beverages to do it authentically.
Lovely. Let's see. Again, we are a simple people. We sing. We dance. We work the fields. We go home. We pray to an indifferent god. And then we go to bed early and start it all over again. I hope you enjoy it.
Nothing like a good Dunkin's before the show.
And how about you, Alex Lindsay? Is it muggy where you are?
I'm here in sunny Nevada. It was actually a little chilly this morning. It's been a little bit of a cold snap here in Nevada, California. Not Nevada, but the very north of. Every time I say it, they're like, you're in Nevada, but you're also in California. I'm like, it's not the same.
No, not the same
it's
at all.
It's Novato and Nevada. So it's very clear difference. Nevada.
Yeah,
Nevada.
The people of Nevada do get upset if you say Nevada. I've learned.
Yeah.
Met maybe 3 people and I say, oh, you're from Nevada. No, it's Nevada.
Okay. And for some reason, Johnny Gilbert, the announcer on Jeopardy, refuses to say Nevada. He always says Nevada. Mm. You must know. He's 90-something years old.
Come on, Johnny. Have you not learned?
Johnny!
I think we should start talking about the thing we're here to talk about, which is the Apple September event. This event, as we expected, was all about iPhone and Apple Watch. They kicked off the show talking about the Apple Watch. We had a brief little conversation with Mother Nature, played by Octavia Spencer, and then we went into the iPhone. I think we should start.
Are you sure it wasn't Drew Barrymore?
I promise it wasn't Drew Barrymore. nor was it Yvette Nicole Brown. Nor was it.
Okay.
I can't remember who else we guessed.
The other question is, like, is the Apple campus, I just answered my question, isn't the Apple campus a union shop? Clearly no.
Yeah.
They're able to write this video.
About that.
I was asking the same thing. They don't use the Writers Guild and they don't use Screen Actors unless they have a special side contract. I think they might.
They could have gotten. I think they would have. They could have gotten a exception on that one because it's not really a film. You know, right. It's film, but it's not a film.
Before, I think I remember reading that the Apple TV contracts are okay. They're still ongoing. Well, those are side contracts to the main deal.
I think it was WWDC. They were there picketing. And so they had folks there picketing, and they would come up and give out these little papers, and then the Apple people would come to them and say, you can't cross this line, you have to stand back there. And then I don't know why they also have a Rhode Island accent, but apparently
the Pinkertons. Pinkertons.
They'd move them back to that area. So yeah, they were protesting because of Apple TV Plus specifically. That's what they kept bringing up while we were all there at WWDC. I think, Leo, this is usually the time where you ask Alex about his take on whether Apple should have in-person live streaming events, or if
we already know
we mostly spent talking about whether what sets were real and what sets were fake.
Oh,
you know, like that was the big.
It was an SF a lot.
We think that obviously they we couldn't figure out where the farmers market was, so we're pretty sure they just set that up.
No, I think that's actually the farmers market in the ferry building, isn't it?
No, that's definitely
wasn't.
The ferry building doesn't have a bridge going over top of it. It had something going over top of it. I go to that one, so I know.
So
that
it was a
really
fake
well.
One. Okay.
So we think that it was just fake. We think that not digital, but just like they put it somewhere. We also think that the factory building is fake, you know, like the entire building. We think it was green screen. The audio would have been much worse.
Are you saying that there is no such Apple company as the Marimba Apple Company? Are you saying that?
The Marimba Apple Company, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the interior of that factory building, the way that they did the transition.
Yeah, that looked, that audio definitely and, looked. Yeah.
The we definitely don't believe that that it's real for the in Steve Jobs Theater upstairs, that curved glass would generate so much echo that you'd never be able to record in there and expect that audio to work. But otherwise, I mean, and you know, we do think that the labs might be just cleaned up and they actually could be there. That's one that we're not sure of. I think that overall watching it, we decided that, you know, like oftentimes they say production and many other things are, you know, a moment of slowness punctuated by a moment of excitement. In this case, I think we said, there's a great new camera. Yeah.
Are you disappointed there were no Craig Federighi moments?
Yeah, we didn't get
no
any.
Hair.
No slow motion, no nothing.
Do they reserve? I mean, that's just
WWDC.
Hardware,
right. Yeah, this was a hardware event. He's software.
It is. It was a pretty. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty. It was the slowest. It was the slowest keynote in recent memory. Like it was. We got to the camera. We were really excited about the camera. Everything up until then, we were like, I don't know why I'm watching this. So
Andy, I'm curious your take. Let's hear this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I thought it was a good keynote. It could have been shorter, but this is another part of the eternal discussion about how these events are going to be different. That like at some point. The people, if they're running a completely live stage show, you say, look, we're making this too complicated. We can't load in this. We can't correlate that. We can't book enough rehearsal time. When it's video that you can do piecemeal, there can be the sort of thing where you're saying, oh, well, you know what? That would be a good segment to drop in. Or, you know what? We're very proud of our environmental message. We think that the environmental message we're sending today is really, really important. So yeah, let's not even bother cutting down that video. Let's make it a nice little amusing meal, because that was like there are things I pay close attention to, and one of them are the themes that they try to sneak into absolutely everything. And the environment was here. I don't think there was a single part of this in which they didn't try to talk about their environmental commitment. So on that basis, it was completely appropriate for them to have, I don't know how long it went, but like a 5-minute long, highly
20
produced
minutes.
20 minutes.
That Octavia Spencer bit was 20 minutes?
That all of the stuff around it, all the environmental stuff was like 20 minutes. It was like for five or 8 minutes, that would have been totally fine. Yeah. At 20 minutes, we were all like, oh. Usually as someone in press, you want them to do an announcement first and then do the environmental stuff, because that's when you take all your notes and hit all the blogs and everything else.
But that's what's making Apple different. And the thing that they were really trying to trump on, and I think the fun part of the Octavia Spencer bit was that they didn't cast her. She was cast as Mother Nature, but not as I'm in this diaphanous pre-Raphael being held aloft by butterflies. She is an intense corporate Steve Jobs like CEO who's like, okay, you are my second corporate environmental progress report of the day. Well, let's start with your lies. Let's go. And being skeptical all the way through. So it was funny and was worth it. But they're also marking that, hey, look, we have a brand new logo that you're going to start seeing on all packages that meet this goal. That if this is 100, I don't know what they called it. I don't have it in front of me, but basically an actual like logo, a specific logo with just the leaf of the Apple logo spread like into sort of like a flower, saying that if you see this logo on a package, it means that it is 100% neutral, and saying, hey, we've got that certification on the Apple Watch. You're going to see it spread to other things. So yeah. And also when you're trying to make the point that, we are also getting rid of all leather products. Interestingly enough, not saying because we believe in the sanctity of life and all its forms and all of God's creatures. It's like, no, I mean, leather costs a lot of, has a big environmental impact to produce. And so we can do a whole lot of cool stuff with recycling. And so now we're replacing all the leather stuff with all this other stuff. I had that. That's why I had underscored Hermes. And of course they immediately said, oh, no, and Hermes is going to have some new like recycled stuff too. So yeah, I wasn't bothered by the length of it because I thought it was well put together. I didn't feel as though there was any real dead air to it. And if anybody didn't like the environmental sequence, I at least appreciate that it didn't feel like a filler. It felt like they're trying to really assert that this is something that we have above all the other companies. I mean, I'll just to button this up, like to think that they only mentioned security and privacy in passing, like one couple of half sentences here and there. Twice. Yeah. But environmental stuff was over and over and over and over again. So they clearly intended for that to be a message.
I guess it's true. Every Apple event has a through line. In the past, it's been privacy or 5G. In this case, it was environmentally neutral. Our goal by 2030 is to be 100% environmentally neutral.
And I don't have a problem with the what they're doing. I think it's a good thing. I just think that it was 20 minutes. Like it was just like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, all we care about is the phone. Like,
usually that stuff, usually that stuff is terrible. Like, it's not funny and so forth. I mean, it was relatively benign.
It was benign. It was just, again, it's just, I think that the problem is that if you keep on doing that, people will stop watching the live show because they'll just wait for the cutdown.
Oh, I don't think so. People will wade through all of that crap to find out what the next iPhone is.
Because the cutdown's going to come out. It may already be out. It's going to come out in about an hour or something like that. And because now that they're not doing them live, they can cut them all down. And the thing is the cutdown's going to be 10 minutes. And nowadays, the cutdown is getting more views than the full version.
Is that true? Really?
I think last time it was higher. Yeah. And
so
the thing is that if you make it boring, people will stop. People will just stop watching it if you fill up the first half hour with things that are slow. Like, there have been some of these that you get in there and you just feel like, bam, 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 bam. They were showing you one cool thing after another. And then they were going to this, then they were going to that. And I felt like maybe they put that all in there because if the show was 45 minutes, which is about what it should have been, people would have said, well, Apple must be running out of ideas because this was really short, shorter than all the other ones. And that would have been the press. But I feel like they just kind of just like, let's just push more stuff in there because we can't afford it.
Is it not also a signal of what the company cares about? I mean, this, whether they, you know, genuinely from their heart care about it or not, it's messaging that we spend 20 minutes worth. That's how much do you care about it? 20 minutes worth.
I got it. But no one's going to see it again. Like, no one's going to, I mean, like, the thing is that the people who are watching, it's just not serving the audience. The people who are watching want to know what you're going to release next, you know, and you're making them kind of slog through a half an hour of slowness, and it's fine. Like, I think they should have said it. I think they should have said all those things, but just showing us a graphic and going through it in 2 or 3 minutes would have said the same thing. And we would have, I actually probably would have remembered more of it. I found that there was so much story around it. I couldn't figure out what they were talking about.
Yeah, I thought it was okay because just as you say, there is going to be a cut down version of this, like 10 minutes, a half hour, an hour after that people who are not interested in the full, like, hour long dog and pony show are not going to watch it anyway. You may as well give this is why I feel as though when people complain that, oh, baseball takes three and a half hours, it should be like an hour long. So, well, maybe it shouldn't be cut down just for people who don't like baseball. Maybe this should be a thing for people who enjoy it, because we are an unusual species that a $2.7 trillion company is announcing new products that are going to make them a whole bunch of money. And like oh my God, I've got my soda, I've got my little bowl of ginger snaps. I'm really excited about all this. And so yeah, I'm really keen to see like the whole hour. And if people who only want to see the highlights, they'll have highlights an hour later. People who only want the information, they'll get the information almost immediately. But it's the other thing I want to say is that Tim is really easing up. He's loosening up. He is like more natural now than he ever has been, and not in like the fake natural thing. I think they're giving him things to do that they know he's capable of, and he's doing it really well. Like his bits, he had a funny bit in the Octavia Spencer bit where, like, because everybody's really nervous waiting for like Mother Nature to come in, and you see him like basically looking at his notes and like muttering, "Hello, welcome to Apple. Hello, welcome to Apple. Hello, welcome." And he sold it. We've all seen CEOs like, "Oh my God, they gave the CEO a funny line. Oh my God. Oh my God. They must hate this line to make it die such a brutal and horrible death."
You got to understand what these events are for, though. And I think, Alex, you may not be the audience that this was intended for. I think Apple probably is.
Well, I don't know.
They use this not for enthusiasts. I mean, it used to be. They would do it for the press. Then they started realizing enthusiasts watch. They did it for enthusiasts. I think this is where Apple puts out its corporate line, and clearly a memo went out saying, you know, we want to be climate neutral by 2030, and we're going to make sure everybody knows we're doing that. I asked Micah during the event, do you think people really care that much about it? And I don't know if they buy a product because it's climate neutral. I think people are aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Apple was saying this. The whole point of this was Apple saying, you know, this is our chance. This is our one chance a year to say what our corporate priorities are. And that is the corporate priority for this.
I think that the issue, though, is that if it's not aimed at a person like me who's seen every keynote live for the last 15 years, you know, watched it and buys all their products, I kind of, and is going to buy.
No,
it's,
you know, it's
buy this no, one. No. I don't know who it's aimed
it's
at.
It's not aimed. It's not. No, they don't expect a lot of people to watch it. They expect the press that's watching it to then write a summary in which they say Apple really cares about the environment. That's what the point of it is, to get the word out. I don't think they care about you being bored.
I think that to do a stream live at the level that they're doing it at, the point is to short circuit the press at this point. They used to want to have the press come and write about them, and they still bring the press in to look at all those things. But what they're doing is they're getting their message out the way they want to say it to everyone. And if they, you know, without needing the press, I mean, the numbers of live viewers for the keynote are bigger than most evening TV shows, you know, like, and it is a massive number of viewers. And I mean, you know, it's,
most people are going to buy an iPhone no matter what.
Yeah, but the issue is that continues to push that distortion field out. And the issue is that if a lot of
that's what I'm saying. It's the secondary effects that are more important than the primary effects, because they know they've got you. They know you're going to buy it. Doesn't matter. The other problem they have is that this is all very incremental. I mean, they didn't have anything big to announce. There was no one more
camera.
Thing.
The camera was big, speaking of all of that,
we should start talking. We got to start talking about the products because Alex is going to run away from us. So let's stop talking about.
Let's take a break if you don't mind.
Would you?
Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to let Alex talk about the camera. Get ready. I want to know if that prism thing is a periscope or what. But anyway, you will tell us. I know in just a bit. I am in Rhode Island, but that doesn't mean I have let go of the tension around any small business when an employee says, "Hey, I'm going to be gone in 2 weeks." That's alarm bells go off. Everybody, all hands on deck. When that happens at Twit, we go to ZipRecruiter. This episode of MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. That is the most effective way to find people for the roles we need filled. ZipRecruiter. You don't have to just take it from me. See for yourself. Right now, you could try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/MACBREAK and experience the value ZipRecruiter brings to hiring. Why do we love it? Well, first of all, you know, when you post on ZipRecruiter, you're casting the widest possible net, 100 plus job boards, all the social networks. So assuming the excellent candidates is somewhere out there, you're going to reach them. But ZipRecruiter goes one step farther because they look at your opening. They look at the million plus current resumes they have on file and they say, hey, here's 10 people who fit your requirements. You look at them, you could pick the one or two or three you want to actually invite to apply. That puts you right on top of the stack in a very competitive hiring environment. When you get invited by a company to apply, we like you. We think you'd be great. You'd be a good fit. You're going to apply. You absolutely are going to apply. So that puts us at the top of the pile for the candidates. You can easily send candidates you're really interested in. That personal invite to apply makes your job stand out amongst the competition. ZipRecruiter also lets you try before you commit. So you can actually, there's no cost to try ZipRecruiter. You can actually post jobs for free. So you can see how effective ZipRecruiter is at helping you hire. Once you post your job, their smart technology will work to identify people whose skills and experience match it. They'll send you a list of great matches. We find within an hour or two, we are starting to see excellent candidates in our inbox. Oh, and that's another thing I love about ZipRecruiter. I know Lisa does too. No phone calls. No, your email doesn't get flooded. All the applicants come through the ZipRecruiter interface. They reformat the resumes so they're easy to scan. You can have screening questions, true, false, yes, no, even essay. And then you can review all the choices in the ZipRecruiter interface, rank them, grade them, select them, hire the right person fast. In fact, it works so well, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And as I said, usually for us, first couple of hours. ZipRecruiter helps you get hiring right. See for yourself. Go to our exclusive, very exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free before you commit. ZipRecruiter.com/MacBreak. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MACBREAK. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And we thank him so much for supporting the show. Micah Sargent is in the big chair, the Dr. Evil chair.
Hello.
You get to do this. How does it feel? Does it feel good to... Oh, you didn't get the Dr. Evil chair.
No, I don't like that chair. It doesn't feel good on my back. It's very painful to sit in for me.
It is, but the suffering makes it all the better.
Yes. Heavy is the butt that wears the crown.
Maybe that's the problem, is that butt has been weighing heavily in that chair for a decade. That's probably the problem.
So we, of course, are talking about the new Apple Watches and iPhones, and we're kicking things off with arguably one of the most exciting new features. It's a hardware feature. The new camera system on the Pro. Yeah, Alex, you said that you were watching the event live with a group of many people, and there was a collective gasp as the air ran out of the room at the new cameras. Tell us about that.
Really?
It was about 100 of us watching on after hours. So we were all sitting there watching, and the real excitement was when they said you could hook a hard drive and shoot to the hard drive from the camera. Yeah. That was like, a lot of us it's one thing to shoot this, but... And they showed it. A lot of us are starting to use rigs. So we're building these exoskeletons on top of our phones. And then we have a lot of things, lights and mics and all kinds of other stuff that's going around the iPhone. And one of the things that's easy for us to add is a hard drive, but there was nowhere to go with that right until today.
If it'll work with like the Atomos or the things that you use?
Oh, no, I think you just hook up a hard drive. You just plug it into a hard drive and you're off to, it'll be interesting to see what monitoring is available. So right now we have this adapter that is a lightning to HDMI. The question is are we going to get something that's just USB-C? Like I have USB-C to HDMI cables, and will I be able to plug that into the iPhone again? I think I will.
I don't think it'll be HDMI. I think it'll be...
It's
USB 3.2, right?
I have cables that are USB on one end and HDMI on the other.
That's what you want, though? Cable. You want HDMI out, not data?
No, you want data too. What I'm saying is there's a bunch of things that we're looking at with the phone is can I get HDMI output, out of it, but also.
So is that fast enough? Is 10 gigabits fast enough?
10 gigs is fast enough. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And so they have, and then they're talking about log encoding, which means that you can color correct it later. You've got the Apple ProRes. And the problem is once you start shooting Apple ProRes, we're like, we thought the new feature is now you can take the videos off the phone, because it just fills up that phone. And you can tell that the camera is the most important part. And you can tell when you go to the Apple site and you roll through this, notice that you'll notice at the bottom, it says, do you want to focus on the phone? I don't know if you can see it with my lower third there, but there's a zoom into the phone that is hidden under my lower third. I think that is,
zoom in on the camera.
So at every moment while you're talking about you can find out more about the camera.
Oh, so that tells you something. So the page has a button all through the page.
It just floats over.
We know you just want to look at the camera.
We just want to know. And that shows you how important the camera is to the sales. We, by the way, we think that this iguana is very arrogant. Look at him. Look at
it is. I mean, look at there. Nothing else. Well, there are a few other points, but not much else is.
It's
improved.
Big improvement on the really camera? Hard. Well, the 120 millimeters. So this is optical. So it's
F2.8. Yeah.
It's using something that is like the periscope, but they just added to it. They just kept bouncing that light through there to give you that longer lens. And so it's similar to periscope, but it's not exactly a periscope the way that other people have implemented it. But that's giving you 120 millimeter, which is great. I mean, there's a lot of times when you wish you could reach out to 5X instead of 3X. They started adding millimeters to it. So it's no longer 1X, 2X, 3X.
Yeah, we now know what the,
30. Well, it's, I don't know if it's
focal length is.
I don't know how true that is and what
they
that
were doing
relates to, but
both
it feels
focal
good.
Length and f-stops. They were clearly aimed at pro camera users.
And, and the
macro 13 millimeter, 24 millimeter, 28 millimeter, 35, 48, and 120 millimeters.
Yeah. Yeah. Seven lenses.
Quote seven lenses.
And of course, with a lot of the computational photography, it's really zooming anywhere in between all of those as well. Right. The other big thing is that you saw the spatial cameras. And we talked about this. So a lot of us were thinking, hey, it looks weird to try to shoot this with your vision. But if you know that now you can shoot with your phone and share it with someone or future-proof it, it means that if you shoot with this phone now, you can get the spatial data that you might want to use somewhere in the future.
And they showed turning the phone on the side and using the side-by-side lenses in that really triangle
to get real stereo vision. Yeah.
And that's exactly what we talked about. And at the hydrogen phone that Andy and I have, that's the Apple lenses are a little wider than the.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
We definitely got.
Is the interocular distance enough?
It's enough.
Because they're very close together.
I don't know what Andy thinks of the hydrogen, but I thought the 3D stuff is the 3D experience is pretty good from the hydrogen phone, which has a smaller interaxial distance than the iPhone. What I will say though is that the best feature of this whole thing is that spatial is going to force a lot of people to go back to landscape because it only works sideways. And so everyone who wants to future-proof their stuff is all going to turn sideways again. So
they're trying to sell the Vision Pro, right? If you did not support some form of Vision Pro photography on this phone, you'd be missing a bet.
I can tell you, as someone who's seen stereo footage on that is shot, like by me on a headset on Oculus, when you start to see people shooting video and stills on their phones and you get to see it in a vision, it's going to change, everyone's going to want to do it because you just feel like you're there. It's incredible. This is what I think Red wanted to do with the hydrogen phone they just needed an ecosystem.
Can you see it on your 2D display or do you have to have a helmet? Oh.
No, I think that this is doing the HEVC MV. So I think, I mean, I don't know yet because I'm on the phone and I haven't found it in the specs. But so HEVC MV has been around actually since about 2015. And what it does is it takes one eye, typically the left eye, and makes that the hero eye. So if you're watching on a 2D device, that's what you see. And then it compresses and keeps the right eye as the delta between those two, right? And so it's a single package. So it's not really putting out two whole eyes. And you can probably convert it somewhere, probably Final Cut or something like that. But it's basically a single package that has both of them together. That's what I think that they're going to do.
On a 2D display, you will see a 2D display. You'll see the dominant eye.
Yep. It'll just,
but if you happen to have a 3D display, in other words, a Vision Pro, you'll see And what does it look like? Is it volumetric? Can you look behind it, or
you can't
it
look
just
back and forth? It's just that it's stereo. I mean, if you move back and forth, you might see a little bit. But the big thing is that it's going to feel like it's popping.
It feels
out at
more
you.
Real,
and it's going to be really addicting. You know, for people who get an access to it. And the big problem with a lot of these headsets has been that you couldn't, there was nowhere to generate the content. The 3D content right. isn't very interesting when you can only generate it with a really complicated rig. And, you know, and I imagine that Facebook's going to figure out a way to take the spatial data and convert it to Oculus. And so it's, you know, it's not just the vision that can handle this. Right. Eventually, you're going to have a lot of people wanting to shoot footage for it. So,
how does this compare to like the Insta360 or the Ricoh Theta? Is that the same kind of
3D? Those are 360. So they're not in. I mean, the Ricoh. I mean,
this is a completely different thing.
This is stereo, and Insta360 does have a stereo version of this. It's stereo 180. This is not stereo 180. This is stereo rectilinear. So it is a film frame, not fisheye. You're not looking back and forth or around. You're just seeing a film frame that's in 3D. Like right. you would go when you see a rectilinear 3D, it's like Avatar. You know, it's like that kind of 3D. You're going to see that there to make that work.
So it'd be like a 3D movie.
It's like a 3D movie. Yep.
Okay.
Except your family.
I was kind of pleased by the Apple show of faith in Vision Pro. I mean, obviously, this is not a developer-only device that is not going to be released until next year. Obviously, that's not something they were really going to be talking about at this event, but they made sure that they incorporated it as part of the family by saying that interesting long hunk. When they're talking about how good the camera is with the spatial camera and you can share it directly with the Vision Pro to give you immersive, like three-dimensional panoramic experiences when you're watching, et cetera, as if to make, again, this is a device that it's thousands of dollars. It's not appropriate for all but a sliver of the market. And there are only going to be a couple, if worst case scenario, according to supply rumors, there are only going to be hundreds of thousands as opposed to millions of these. And yet they want to make sure that they're planting that flag in people's consciousness that we have this device that you will want, you will have eventually. But the good thing is, as you kind of hint at, Alex, that you're taking pictures now that you'll be able to enjoy on a device you might have in 4 years.
Well, and if you think about wanting to sell lots of Vision Pros, giving someone something they can generate content with that they can only see if they buy this product or use this product down the road yeah. creates a lot of potential energy, you know, like that people are now thinking about it. And I will say, having seen a lot of footage that I shot on Oculus, you know, and a couple other headsets, it is so exciting to see. Like when you see that experience, it is it feels really cool. And yeah. you definitely wish you could see everything that way. I've been using 3D cameras for the last 20 years of some way, shape, or form. So,
I'm 100% with you. I was testing out a few years ago. Sony had a pair of HD electronic binoculars where they looked exactly like binoculars, but they were digital, and each binocular had an HD sensor and HD display. And so it was quite a trip when, like, I'm at Faneuil Hall. I'm holding this thing up to my face to both get a better look at this street performer and also recording as I go. And then like a week later, I'm holding the same device up to my face, looking at it again and seeing in my entire field of vision 3D of exactly what I saw. It is super, super compelling. There's another camera feature that was.
How often do you do that, Andy?
Let's be honest. Well, I mean, the thing is, you're right. It's not that I would spend thousands of dollars to have this as a separate sort of camera. But if the pictures that I was taking with my regular smartphone anyway was doing something clever, like, hey, there's two lenses side by side.
But it's not. I think that's the point. And let me ask Alex this.
In the future, right.
In the future. Because right now it's a choice. You're going to say, I'm going to shoot this in spatial mode, or I'm going to use all these other features of the camera. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we don't know yet.
Yeah, but you have to use two lenses. So I'm thinking all the other stuff.
It's a mode,
which means you're not going to use it all the time, because even though someday somehow I'll be able to see my mom in 3D, I'm still going to use my regular camera. 90%.
I could see someone doing both, like taking pictures.
Okay.
I think you'd end up with someone, you know, like
You got to buy two.
No, not just two iPhones, but like, hey, let's do a portrait with everybody. Let's do one more with, you know, let's do a quick portrait with this. Yeah. You know, switching back. I do that with different things all the time, you know. And so the switching back and forth, I think, makes sense. And again, I think that you don't have, what Apple needs to do is not necessarily sell tens of millions of headsets. What it needs to do is sell all it can make. And for the first couple of years, it's going to sell all that it can make, you know, with these products, because it's only going to make a couple hundred thousand and then a couple million. And then, you know, it's going to take 2 or 3 years for it to get up to capacity. But the fact that it's selling all the ones that it's making makes this easier to get started.
Yeah. I just more wish that there was like an additional mode that basically just said, look, capture as much data as you possibly can. You do the iPhone does the best job of any phone I've ever used in terms of I tap the button and in an instant the picture is taken and it never fails. It would be great if I could simply say, look, I'm willing to stay in this spot for a good tenth of a second. That means that, yeah, take the stereo picture. Yes, record an image from every single lens. Like, do lots of I'm not talking about something I would need to have a tripod for. I mean that it's taking a sequence of photos, but then bundling it all together so that as I'm editing later on, if they're like, oh, gee, I really wish I'd pulled out a little bit more. Well, congratulations. That also captured the wide angle version of it so it can add in data from the sides. So there are a lot of ways it can improve the camera, and I'm glad that they're adding all these other things. One of the things that kind of caught my attention was when they were talking about the new action button to replace the silent ring silent switch, mechanical switch with this new haptic button. I love the fact that you could select basically what it does, not just make it ring silent. And one of the little icons, there was a selection of 9 icons that they showed quickly in a screenshot. And one of them was the camera. And I hope it wasn't just like press the action button to launch the camera. I would love it if that were also a shutter button. Because that is such a, for me, it's still such a natural way to do it. And sometimes it's such a fumbly way to make sure I'm holding it in such a way that I'm gripping the camera by its sides, but I'm also have a thumb free so I can tap a piece of glass. A lot of little things. I'm like you, I'm excited about the camera features, and that's, it's more than that in terms of the upgrades, what it does for gaming. But yeah, the camera features are really, really superior.
And they showed, you know, one of the ways they're stabilizing this whole thing is they're actually stabilizing the sensor. So this is a, you know, and they didn't show it here, but if you're
is that new? They've done that before.
No, they've done that before. They said it's 3D. They're doing 3D movements up to 10,000 per second, which is twice as much as they did with last year's Pro. If I'm remembering up to 10,000 micro adjustments per second, which is double last year. There are 3D, three-dimensional movements, first in any smartphone, and they actually singled that out as actually that was kind of critical to get the tetraprism like telephoto work.
And the interesting thing there is whether they can go into much larger images. Focaling, so, you know, for instance, once you're moving that little chip around like that in micro adjustments, Sony, the A7 S4, you know, you can do a 61 megapixel, but you can take 240 megapixels by it will move the whole chip by one pixel. It's actually moving, shifting the sensor to get a 240 megapixel image.
And so how is this different?
My list does the same thing. Yeah.
How is this different from OIS in a Sony? Is it the same?
Well, most do it in the lens. So they're not doing it in the lens. They're doing it in the sensor, I believe.
Right.
But I think that I don't know exactly with Sony. Most of their optical stabilizations in their lenses in the larger ones. I don't know as much about their phones. Usually you do it in the lens because the lens has got easier to do it in the lens because you don't have to be as doing it in the chip.
It's a technology they got from Olympus. Olympus originally did it in the lens and eventually did it in the body. And I think Sony does both. So you have in some lenses, not all lenses, you have OIS and then they also have OIS in the body.
Mm. That's why I went to Micro Four Thirds because at the time I was like, do I want to buy all IS lenses or do I just attach my 100-year-old lens to it and I still get a stabilization?
Yeah.
I also like the fact that we're talking about how it has 7 quote like different lens focal lengths. I love the fact that you can set a default. Like just as though like you've attached a specific lens to this thing. I want every time I turn this on, be in 35mm wide mode, and you don't have to. Oh no, I just kind of you automatically went to full out. It's not just the hardware. They've also built a machine that is designed to not annoy people with its software and the way that it functions. I think
it is really interesting. We noted this, Micah, when we were watching the event. that they are now talking about 35 millimeter, 120 millimeter. They're talking about the f-stops. They are aiming directly at Canon and Nikon and Sony and saying, well, you know, because I bring like, and I know you do too, Andy, you got a camera case with four lenses in it and a body or two. They're saying, oh, hey, you're carrying seven lenses with you.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, 120 isn't the longest possible, but they said they're doing 12x optical zoom is unbelievable.
Plus, because they're using a 48 megapixel sensor, I think they said even with the binning, they're giving you 24 megapixel images. They'll say they'll even give you like a digital zoom that is essentially 12 megapixel. That's just taking pixels from the heart of the image. So, and cooking it specially. So the optical stuff is good, but on every phone made by a really good company, what they can do digitally. Digital zoom used to be absolute garbage. Now it's like, okay, I'm not going to think it's garbage. I'm going to see what it does, because oftentimes it will do some very, very cool things. Maybe not my own phone will do 4x optical zoom up to 20x digital. It's really good up to 8x or 10x. 20x, if that's the only way I'm going to get a picture of Harrison Ford at the boat dock, I'll take it. But that's about it.
I have the Samsung Ultra 23, and I've showed the zoom.
Yeah, exactly.
It claims 200. Yeah. That's not optical. Yeah. This is optical 120 millimeter.
Yeah.
Those are the lenses. Macro 13 millimeter, 24 millimeter, 28. 35, which is a great portrait length, 48, which is the standard, I believe, and then 120 millimeter, which is the telephoto. That is good. That is really good.
Did you notice another thing about they of course, did a whole bunch of sections talking about how good portrait mode is and how good the HDR is. Almost every single sample image was of a human being, and nearly every model they used was a person of color. I thought that was They didn't specifically make a point of AI technology to make sure you're getting natural skin tones if you're not Caucasian. But it's a way of saying that, look, it's a range of really, really dark skin, lighter skin. Right. Asian skin, every skin.
There were no pink folk in the whole thing.
It's not just a diversity thing. It's really that those are hard. That's much harder to shoot well.
Exactly. Google spent a lot of time talking about True Tone and all of that.
Yeah.
So I shoot. This is the camera I bring with me, like when I want nice pictures of my mom. This is fixed 28. I think 13 is maybe a little too wide. 35 is a really nice thing. Andy, what will you set your default to be? 35?
Probably 35. 35 is a really good street photography sort of thing.
That's where this is basically. Yeah.
Where you're not, if you're too close to something, you're not going to miss much of it. If you're a little bit too far away, you'll still get a good crop on it. But I'll probably keep my default to 35.
Yeah. It's interesting because it does seem like, of all the things they announced, and there's quite a bit in this, they have 3-nanometer processors, the second generation ultra wideband chip.
Exactly. That was another consistent theme. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some interesting technology, but I think they're right. The cameras are the most important part. And frankly, if I were a dedicated camera manufacturer at this point, I'd be very nervous. Yeah.
And not just that. I don't think, Alex, did you talk about, the feature where like you can use it in the studio the way that a lot of like Sony's and other like big cameras, where it's actually docked to a Mac and sending its imagery, it's writing its imagery
with Caption One. You could tether. Exactly. Yeah.
That was surprising because I'm not knowledgeable about how people use cameras in studios, but I would assume that if you're in a studio, you would probably be using like a better camera anyway, but that's probably an assumption.
If you weren't doing stuff for eBay or things for social or things for, so the thing is that absolutely as an ad agency, you'd probably still be using much larger cameras. Yeah. But if you're trying to pump out a bunch of stuff for online and you can close that distance very fast with what it has there. It's pretty impressive.
It's interesting though
how far away do you think we are from external light syncing? I would love it if it could basically hold open the shutter and wait for a strobe to fire, even if it's just a little pocket flash. That's the sort of thing that would absolutely drive me
wild. Made for iPhone. I haven't done flash.
I can't believe it's not out. Like I can't believe that there isn't something like that already. Because being able to convert a Bluetooth connection to a, you know, to some kind of strobe. Seems like, you know, like to something, to a controller that would control a strobe. Seems like there's got to be something out there. Well, I'll take a look at that because it's, feel like that must be already there.
So forgive me in my ignorance. I would imagine that most people who are using their phones to be cameras would just have continuous light. What is a strobe that important?
Yeah.
To freeze movement or?
Well, not just to freeze movement, but also to get really good light. I mean, it's the thing about an LED panel is that it is good. It'll give you a better image. It'll get with a little bit of fill light, particularly if you're in like a bar or someplace that's really, really dark to begin with. However, it's a different kind of light. It's a glowy sort of light as opposed to something that will really punch
strobes
up.
Strobes harder. Yeah.
What it will do is it'll bring out the colors, and it will also it also has the effect of freezing motion. Whereas
is that because it's brighter? Is that why it's so bright?
It's much, much brighter, particularly for like the amount of energy that it consumes. Like I can get about if I'm using like my little pocket light I forget the name of it, but it's a nice $120 look, like half the size of an index card sort of panel.
Yeah.
I have to be careful about how I use it because if I have it bright enough to use it like as a fill flash in daylight or on overcast days, and that's the sort of situation where a flash really comes in handy, where it's either either you're getting harsh shadows because it's 1 p.m. or it's cloudy and you're not getting any like direct light at all, and so all the colors that are in the face and the clothing is just totally washed out. Like you have to really super crank it up and hold it right next to the person's melon, right there, and right next to their face to get any sort of effect with it. Whereas I have another pick of the week that I made was a really cool like $80 wireless pocket flash that works with everything I have that has any kind of a hot shoe on it, and the ability to fire off one of those from a phone would be a game changer. It would increase the number of times where I would leave my real camera at home.
I wonder. You have to do it because you have to sync with the shutter. But there's
what you could do is simply say, okay, in this flash mode, we're gonna set we've decided that the latency of the wireless signal, what we can trigger via Bluetooth or via the dock connector, is we're gonna say we're comfortable with 1/60th of a second. So we're gonna have the shutter speed be 1/30th of a second, and trust that at some point during that slow shutter time, the strobe will go off and we'll get the benefits of the strobe. You don't have to have it instantaneous with the strobe. So long as the strobe goes off because it's instantaneous, like any time during that 1/30th of a second window. The problem would be if you want to do it at 125th or something, that's where the tolerances are much more narrow. It would be interesting. The fact that they're allowing tethering makes me wonder exactly how far they would go to say that, you know what, we are no longer trying to be the best smartphone camera on the market. We are now trying to be an incredibly competent competition to like a Sony V100 or any other like $1,000 pocket camera you can get.
Yeah. By the way, notice nobody's selling those anymore. I mean, that's a category.
A few people are virtually dead, right?
Except for the high end.
I think they're calling those creator cameras now.
They're for vloggers. Yeah, and they're not for still photography. Micah, you're surprisingly quiet. Are you thinking about all the things you're going to talk about Tuesday on iOS today? You have much to talk about, I know.
What I'm doing is checking everything to see if there are any things that kind of stick out that we might have missed on stage, or in the case where someone goes, I don't know if that's the case or what's going to happen. There was one thing early on you had talked about, whether the video that you shoot, the spatial video as it's called, all of the language across all of the different parts of Apple's site that I read all talk about the Vision Pro as being the one way of viewing that. So as far as I can tell from what we have right now, that video, that spatial video, is going to be exclusive to Vision Pro. That, of course, might change, but
Apple's not going to talk about it being available for other things, but if you're shooting 3D data, I mean, someone's going to figure out how to extract that 3D data and convert it. I mean,
but if they figure out how to extract it, you know, like that's not an Apple blessed process. So I'm curious if Apple
is it a standard format that HVCMC, whatever
HVCMV, if that's what they're using, because Apple talked about HVCMV at WWDC, and so they really broke down what it does and how it works. That's why I think it's highly likely that it is the case. And remember that if you have a phone that can shoot that in stereo and process it and it's online, you could theoretically stream from an iPhone to people with headsets. Wow. Like, you know, like, so it's still going to take a year or two to mature, but Apple oftentimes does stuff that takes a while to mature. But what it means is that now the headsets are capable of doing something pretty interesting for folks that get them, you know? Yeah. So it's not a game, I think, of Apple trying to sell the headsets as it's having that acquisition device is super important. And, while it will probably only natively, the easiest thing to do is hook it up. And there's a lot of things that I think will be that HEVC-MV, if that's what they're using, is not a proprietary format. That's just in it, you know, so it's something that it's usable.
I also thought it was interesting when they talked about USB-C, and they did a much more dignified way of talking about it than I thought they would. They simply said, acknowledge, and now USB-C is the most popular connector in the world. And now it's
did you expect them to whine about the EU?
I expected them to like be at least stomp their feet a little bit, not by saying we're doing this because we're being forced to. I do acknowledge this is like my cynicism. I am always saying we have done USB-C the right way. You're welcome.
Nor did they do that. You're right. They didn't really do that either. They just said now USB-C and we are going to get one benefit that they did not choose Thunderbolt. They decided we're going to go USB 3.2.
That was interesting too. So they were talking about the advantages of it by couching in terms of 10 megabits per second.
Gigabits.
Thank you. Gigabits per second, thanks to a brand new USB controller. They said it was up to 20 times faster than USB 2, but they weren't comparing it to the Lightning connector of last year's iPhone iPad. 14 or anything else. So that was kind of interesting. I had to settle myself down when they were listening, and it could be used for things like charging data, audio, and video. And I'm like, video? Then I forgot they've always had a video VGA connector kit for running a presentation. But I wonder if with the pros they might do something else with the video capabilities of having connectors that use USB-C.
What's the max speed on Lightning? Is it that fast? Is it 10 gigabits?
On Lightning?
No, it's whatever they say it is. I'm going to look
it's
it up.
Whatever they say it is.
Of course it is. That's a good pun.
Wait, while Andy looks that up,
whatever Apple says.
You want to do an ad break while he looks that up?
Yeah, let's do an ad and you look it up while I talk about our good friends at IT Pro TV, our sponsors today. You know the name IT Pro TV. They've been advertising with us since they started back in 2013. Now they're ACI Learning, and that means there's a lot more that IT Pro and ACI Learning can bring to the table. IT teams will absolutely benefit from the training at ACI Learning. You want to keep your IT team up to date, right? It's very important for your business. They want to keep up to date. They want to upskill. So it's a win all around. And the only problem is sometimes you bring them training and it's terrible. You will be very happy to know IT pros love the content from IT Pro TV, now amplified with robust solutions for all your training needs thanks to ACI Learning. All the fun, the personality, the edutainers, but all the informative content too. It's got to have both, right? It's got to be engaging. The passion that the presenters have for the topic has to come through, but they also have to have the content. You've got to feel like every minute you spend with this learning is giving you something, and that's exactly what ACI Learning does. That was what makes it so fantastic. 7,200 hours of short form video. You can 20 to 30 minutes long. You can watch it during a break. You can fill in a little gaps in your day with great videos on demand. So you do it whenever you want. I know you know the name IT Pro. Thanks to ACI Learning, IT Pro's expanded capabilities include more support for IT teams by keeping their courses updated. Now, that's one thing that's really important. That 7,200 hours, that's up from, I think it was 5,800 hours a couple of years ago. That's because they've got 7 studios. They're running Monday through Friday all day, not just to kind of update it, but because there's new content. There's new software. There's new certs. There's changing certs. There's, you know, this is one of the things we love about IT. It is a constantly evolving field. and IT pros' videos keep up, including MS Cloud, AWS, CompTIA. One proud tech team leader said, I had 100, he was an MSP, I had 110 engineers in the field. We had dozens of IT pro accounts. Last year alone, they passed over 40 certs. Wouldn't you love it if your team had 40 new certs under their belt? They can, thanks to ACI Learning. And the content is so good that their completion rate is much, much higher. Much, much higher than the industry average. About 50% better. Teams love the practice labs, too, where they can test and experiment before you deploy new apps or updates. You can set up a Windows system and all the clients without actually even having a Windows system. You can do it in your browser. That's fantastic. The ACI practice exams are amazing. They allow you to prepare for those challenging certification examinations with practice questions. You can take the test before you take the test, so you really feel comfortable and confident when you sit down for the exam. ACI Learning's new skills gap analysis tool is very cool. I'll tell you about that. Insights, it's called. Powered by the magic of AI to identify your team's weaknesses, provides management and individuals with valuable assessments, and will assist in your professional development planning. Joe, we got to work a little bit on your your skills in Cisco networking. So here's a video for you. That kind of thing. It identifies skill gaps. It empowers your team, and it personalizes your training so that there are no gaps. There are no places where you're not completely up to speed. Your team is ready to take on whatever challenge comes next. IT Pro TV, now ACI Learning. They keep your business from risking redundancy by consistently offering the most up-to-date certifications and courses available. Provides you with a personal account manager who's on your team. They're going to make sure you're not wasting anyone's time. Your account manager will work with you to make sure your team focuses on the skills that matter. That Insights tool helps a lot, right? So you can leave redundant training behind. Of course, ACI Learning is ISO certified. You're getting the world-class training your team deserves. Keep your IT team up to date with the speed of technology. Visit go.acilearning.com/twit. Twit listeners, you're going to get a free trial and as much as 65% off an IT Pro Enterprise solution plan. Of course, the discount is tied to the size of your team. Bigger the team, bigger the discount. Fill out the form. You'll get a quote tailored to your needs. That's go.acilearning.com/twit. go.acilearning.com/twit. We thank ACI Learning for supporting us all these years.
Lightning is as high as 5 gigabits per second on the Lightning iPad Pro. However, on the iPhone 14, it is limited to USB 2.0 speeds, which is 480 megabits per second.
At least it is at least twice as fast.
At 10 gigabytes per second versus 400 megabits per second.
And Alex, you said it's fast enough to capture 8. Is it fast enough to capture 4K 60 frames?
I think that's what they said. Yeah. So I think that it should
be. That's what they're offering.
Yeah.
The idea that I could just plug my iPhone directly into a Blackmagic, the ATEM Mini, what you were talking about with the cord where it's USB-C on one side, HDMI. That would be so nice. It's just becomes part of the switcher. That'd be so cool.
This is the cable. You've got USB-C on, I'm trying to block my face so I can't. So but it's got USB-C on one side and HDMI on the other. And so I use this when I'm connecting my iPad to my ATEM. So if it does the same thing the iPad does, it means you will be able to connect your phone to the
You're able to do that with your iPad right now? And what does it do? Does it show the screen of the iPad?
Shows the display.
Okay.
Well, it shows the display unless an app knows what to do with it. Keynote, if you have your USB-C connected to HDMI, as soon as you hit play on Keynote, it'll present 16:9 to the HDMI out. So to your switcher, it doesn't have any pillar boxing.
Got it.
But then you'll have the speaker display on your.
Okay, so it can get clever like that. And is there a way to make it I know you wouldn't really want to as much, but the camera on the iPad, you just have to use an app that just displays what's on the camera.
No, you can use it. If you jump into camera, it will show the camera. I've used iPhones for live streams where we have three iPhones, even just with the Lightning, three iPhones connected, and Filmic Pro, Shoot Pro, those will all convert to they'll give you a 16:9 output, the camera output,
direct
instead
HDMI.
Of a screen capture.
That's nice.
So that's, I've definitely done whole live streams with three iPhones without a problem. cool. Even older ones, newer ones, they all do it.
Do we want to? We should probably talk about the Apple Watch. I know it's not as exciting.
Yeah.
But hold on, wait. Let me turn up the volume a little bit. Okay. For those listening, I'm doing the new gesture, the double tap.
The new double tap gesture. That was pretty darn cool. The idea of you can basically have an action button that is just tapping your thumb and forefinger together to do basically whatever the action button would do on whatever app you're using, like pausing music, taking a picture with a camera app, that kind of stuff. Although I have to say, like in the video, they had a little montage of people using it in situations where, oh no, I'm holding all these groceries, but I want to answer a phone call, blah blah blah. And there's one where like a student is in a big stuffy college library and she's talking on the phone through her watch, and the librarian just gives her a glaring look. And I swear to God, if you did not know that they're demonstrating like this new watch gesture, you would think that with the sort of smirk that the student has as she looks directly eye contact with the librarian and makes this gesture,
you think it's like, something
oh my
else.
God,
yeah.
That's disgusting.
What did you just say?
Wicked disrespectful child.
Now, there's something about this. I think it's important to point out, and Leo, you kind of gasped about this and repeated it, was how they described how they're doing this feature. And the way that they talked about it was subtle changes in the way that blood is flowing. And this, to
me,
that
surprised me.
This is proof of concept. This is showing that what they can do with the sensors now is proof of concept for what they would eventually be able to do with the sensors. Leo, you talked about how you want blood pressure on your Apple Watch.
Well, it reminds me, I mean, going back to Fitness Plus and the watch, they seemed to know the difference between rowing and an elliptical machine. And they showed back when they introduced this, all the training they did. And this is machine language. You know, this is artificial intelligence. They train it on the kinds of, you know, things, the kinds of impulses the watch might be getting when you do this. And I guess what happened is they kept trying it till they found out they could pretty accurately distinguish between me tapping my index finger and thumb together compared to, I don't know, could I tap my pinky and thumb and get the same result, or making a fist or throwing a baseball? We don't know yet, but that's machine learning.
The testing to make that kind of stuff work is intense.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's lots of different body types, lots of different environments, lots of different heart rates.
Well, you don't do it with a watch. You do it with a big old thing on your hand
and
sensing all of the changes and trying to learn from it and eventually saying, you know, when it does this, these are the 15 different parameters that change by 2%.
And once you get through that basic piece, then you have to go back to the watch, because you got to make sure the watch sensor in its environment, is it loose? Is it tight? Is it, you know, left hand, right hand, like all of these different things. It seems like I know it doesn't seem simple to anyone, but it really is a huge lift to the, these are just thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of R&D.
To say nothing of like people, I have a somewhat furry wrist. Other people have like a very, very naked wrist. I saw on Reddit someone posting about how like they have lots and lots of tattoos all like full sleeves, and they were having like a circle of laser removed on the top of their wrist
just for their watch,
to make the Apple Watch work correctly.
But we've known that people were sleeved. I think Serenity Caldwell's partner is sleeved and couldn't get a lot of the watch functions to work because the tattoo hot.
Yeah.
I think that's the case of the watch bouncing light through the skin and reading the blood vessels. And of course, if you've got dark skin or you've got tattooed skin, that doesn't work as well.
Well, so much of the sensor technology is still simply optical. They're just using different lights, different colors. Even all the stuff that's made significant progress in being able to detect blood glucose levels without having some sort of a sensor embedded in the skin has been optical. And the problem is that they can get it fine tuned so it'll work for this one person they're testing it with. But to get it to work, as Alex says, with random person that they sell a watch to at any mall in the world, that is ungodly problematic.
I wanted to mention something. Folks who want to kind of preview this feature, if you have an Apple Watch Series 4 or later, an Apple Watch SE first generation and later, or an Apple Watch Ultra, can try something similar. It's called Assistive Touch on the Apple Watch. It's available in accessibility. And they have the following gestures. You can pinch to move to the next item, which you tap your finger to your thumb. You can double pinch, which is the same as this double tap, tap your pointer finger to your thumb twice. You can clench, clench where you close your hand into a fist and then you can double clench, and these all will do different features. So this existed as an accessibility feature for quite some time.
Which tells you they've been testing this for
exactly.
some time. Right?
Yeah. And so now it's coming as a sort of standard feature in the Apple Watch. And Leo, you and I kind of talked about how it's a little bit of a way to kind of train the gestures we may eventually see as spatial computing becomes more common.
Yeah, they're trying to get people used to that. That is one of the gestures, as I remember, with a Microsoft HoloLens. And I can't remember if Apple showed it with the Vision Pro, but this is absolutely, I can't remember if it's closed window on the HoloLens. But you're going to have to use those gestures. So let's get people used to that. That's another reason to do it, of course.
Especially in the eventual the next upgrade after the Vision Pro, where we're supposed to just have kind of little shades or whatever.
If
we're
it's an interesting question, Andy, though, you raised. Is this somehow related to being able to do blood glucose? The two kind of holy grails that we really want to see in the watch are, let's start with blood pressure accurately. Yeah. And then secondarily, blood glucose, which is probably a more distant goal.
And even if they do it the same way they've done EKG, which is not to give you like a diagnostically significant number as you would do if you needed to manage type 2 or type 1 diabetes, but to simply say, okay, your blood glucose is crashing. It's a lot low. It's dipped really, really lower. We're not going to give you a number, but it's dipped really low in the past 15 minutes. And now if I feel like I'm a little bit logy or off on with, oh, gee, I need to eat a cookie or something like that. Similarly for blood pressure, where, okay, your blood pressure has gone really, really in a bad way. Whatever you're doing now to make that happen, try not to make that happen. If you're doing nothing to make that happen, press this button to call an ambulance.
See, that's the risk, though, when you're talking diabetics, because if you are low glucose or high glucose, you can die. So I think that you don't want to play so much with that. I think that's one of the reasons we haven't seen a non-invasive blood glucose. It's just risky if you can't do it.
Right. Well, again, that's why I'm saying as opposed
to. But I don't think a suggestion is useful because, I mean, am I going to act? If I'm a type 2 diabetic, but let's say I'm a type 1 diabetic, and if my watch says, oh, your blood glucose is going down, am I going to go drink some orange juice? That could kill me if it's wrong.
Good point. I'm sorry, I'll just wrap this up. The thing that I find most useful about these watches is when we all have those moments where, gosh, I'm just suddenly feeling kind of a little tired. Right. I was fine, and now I'm on the bus, and I can barely keep my head up. It would be nice to have sometimes that's just what your body does. If it was, hey, your blood pressure just dropped a lot, and I don't know, I'm not telling you I know why, I'm just a simple watch, but if I, even if it were not something I could see in the watch, but something where later on in the day when I ask, you know, hey, Shlomo, like, how did my body do today? I said, yeah, for some reason, you were near death for exactly a second and a half. I don't know if you noticed, but here's the data I collected at that moment.
Most valuable thing my watch does right now is tell me it's 99 dB. You might want to get some hearing protection. That is really, really valuable.
Well, and I think with the blood sugar, because I'm starting to do some research on this. I hung out with my cousin over the weekend in Arizona, and he's really into data, and they're really matching everybody's data to their blood sugar levels. Now they're using the Libra, you know, the little one you put into your arm, and his family kind of got into it, And the big thing is I'm not looking to try to tell me to go to the hospital or have orange juice, but I am looking, I'm about to start looking for the next little bit of time. I'm going to eat something and then look at the data.
Right.
And I'm going to start paying attention.
That's really useful. I've used those too. It's really
just to start
valuable.
Because I'm, you know, by the end of the year, I'm going to stay in that little green zone all the time. Because the thing that I've seen is the health benefits of staying in that green zone is so transformative that I don't have any interest. I'm going to start just eliminating anything that I eat that will put me outside of that space because as I've learned more and more about it, it's super important.
Yeah. Well, that's why I started journaling because sometimes if I'm like really, really out of it or like my brain is just not working well for a few days, it's nice to be able to look at that end of day, just little like two or three sentence roundup of here's what I ate, here's how much exercise I got or didn't got, and spot those kinds of trends, which is why another little feature that they added to the health features, which is I think they meant to say that they enhance Siri across the board, not just across the Apple Watch, so that health information is now accessible via Shlomo. So now you can say, hey, hey, Shlomo, log that I took my medication today, or hey, Shlomo, like how close I am I to check my rings. And that's why the journaling app, I'm not surprised to find that the rumor is that it's going to be part of the health app as opposed to a generalization. Hey, here's how to have your dream log, your dream versions recorded every single day, because it is a health thing. That's just as you say, Alex. It's like there are things that you don't necessarily notice. You notice if you eat a bad oyster right away, like really quickly. But the thing is, you don't notice that, hey, wow, I've been deadline centric and eating nothing but takeout, I've been eating crap for 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Maybe that's why I'm unfocused. Maybe that's why I'm having a hard time sleeping. Versus, hey, look, this week, the time where I ate Brussels sprouts and I had rice with kimchi like for dinner every single night, like, wow, I was actually sleeping 8 hours a night, getting okay. Maybe, Andy, maybe there's some lessons in here for you that you couldn't figure out for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really focused on it. And again, I think that the watch giving us data really makes a big difference in the sense that I'm really moving towards how do I feel when I eat? Not what does it taste like? like it's a huge, it's a little bit of a shift
dosages as opposed to experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I feel great after eating that Dunkin'. I might have another.
Oh no, Leo, no!
And if you do, then
complex
you
worry carbs, about my blood sugar. Complex
I'll be
carbs.
Fine.
Please.
The problem is, like, the problem is when you eat vegetables, the fiber blocks everything up.
And prevents
your body from metabolizing the sugar and the carbohydrates to their exactly. maximum potential.
Leo, are you getting a new Ultra?
That's a good question. So we didn't even think they would talk about the Ultra this time. And I guess it makes sense in hindsight that they would. The Apple Watch 9 has a new processor. Of course, you're going to have to put that in the Ultra. Has that new second generation UWB chip that you're going to have to put that in the Ultra. And it's got pinch to whatever. And yeah you're going to have to put that in the Ultra. The biggest thing, though, the Ultra is getting that the Watch 9 is not is a twice as bright screen. Which is great for what? I don't know. When
being
you're
outside,
rock climbing in the dark. I don't know.
No,
sure
the opposite of that. When you're outside and the sun is shining down.
When you're running in the sun.
Yeah, you can barely see it. Now it goes up to 3,000 nits of brightness, which is brighter than the iPhone Pro.
How bright is that, Alex? That's pretty bright, isn't it?
It's bright. I mean, 3,000 nits. I mean, it's hard to get. So the brightest monitor that I have looked at is 4,000 nits.
Wow.
Now it's a pretty big monitor. It's not as small as your phone.
Well, there's HDR when they're talking about HDR. That's just these little specular highlights.
Yeah, it can be unless you're watching something that's really bright
highlight
overall. But 3,000 nits is really, really bright. It just means that you're going to be able to see it in the daylight. I think that where it makes a difference for the watch is what happens when it's sunny. You know, and how easy is it for you to read?
Especially when I go hiking, being able to, I'm going, what does that screen say?
Yeah.
I don't go outside, so it's not an issue for me.
They also have a brighter display on the Series 9. They said that it's 2,000 nits, which is twice as bright as it was before. They also made a big deal of how now the display also goes down to 1 nit. So if you're with an always-on display, if you're in a theater, you might not necessarily have to turn the display off to avoid annoying other people while still being able to check to see how long is this Oppenheimer movie. Anyway, how much is this going to cost me in babysitting and parking fees just to find out that our country did something
terrible, terrible,
kind of terrible, scientifically breakthrough, but broke through and killing lots of people.
I'm wondering, though, if the brighter screen is more because the screen technology is different or because they have a much more efficient 3-nanometer processor. Are these 3-nanometer, by the way, these new processors in the Apple Watch?
The Apple Watch.
I don't know what node they're on, but they are presumably more efficient. That's Apple always is going for that. Yeah. So maybe that's why you can have a brighter screen just because you don't have to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, that was another consistent message throughout almost all the devices that they showed off, that they all said that they were all saying, if we are ever holding out hopes that we're going to see, hey, instead of 18-hour battery life, we're going to get a 24 or 36-hour battery life on the Apple Watch. Their thing seems to be that, hey, we put a much better screen, a much brighter screen, a much more powerful processor with the exact same battery life that you're used to. And so that seems to be like exactly what they want to get on about. And I think this is the first year that I was really super aware of why they're putting such super powerful processors in a watch, because I didn't really get it before. because, okay, how much processing power do you actually need in order to like run all of these sensors, collect them all and produce a really nice display? But now they really are all about, hey, here is the AI model that we developed that we need to run in order to figure out that you're tapping your finger this way. Here is the AI model we need for crash detection. Here is the AI model we need to basically interpret all these sensors and have of all the things that this combination of motion and inputs could possibly mean. No, hey. It means the intent exactly this.
Hey, Andy, somebody wants to say hi to you.
Hey, Mrs. Laporte, how you doing?
Say hi to Andy.
I'm so glad to see you again. It's been years since the boat.
That's you, Mom. That's you. Or maybe it's me. I don't know. It's one of us.
You, but I look so gross.
Mom just took a little nap because I pulled her to sleep with this show. And I'm in her house now, and she just wanted to say hi to you, Andy. She said, I know him.
Yes.
Andy Indignato. That's him. Yeah, there he is. Say hi, because you saw Micah. We talked to Micah. He does all the textile stuff.
I look like a witch.
Well, oh, no. It's bad lighting. I'm sorry, the lighting. I look terrible, too. It's just bad lighting.
Because I don't want Andy to think I'm so ugly and horrible.
Oh,
looking.
For heaven's sake.
Oh, he says, for heaven's sake.
You could be on a package of cookies on any shelf at Whole Foods right now. You look great.
I don't really look like that.
He says you could be on the package of a cookie on any shelf in America.
She liked that one.
So everybody's here, but since Mom got up from her nap, I just thought I'd let her see. There's Alex there, and Andy, hey, and there's Micah. There's everybody.
I watch all of you all the time.
Aww. She loves this show.
Love it. I love the show. I love it. I love it.
All right.
And it's not because my son is in there.
We're gonna go get clam cakes. We're going to go get clam cakes in a little bit.
And I came to tell you.
It's not open. She came to tell me Dune Brothers is closed.
Oh, no. You'll have to find them somewhere else.
I'm leaving.
Oh. It won't be closed tomorrow.
Oh, it'll be open tomorrow. Well, that's different. We'll do it tomorrow.
Good. That means it's not because the health inspector finally checked the grease trap.
No.
It's because it was for something else.
You'll do crab cakes today. Actually, they go home tomorrow.
They go home to Portugal every winter.
Oh, nice.
They're Portuguese. Yeah. The Dune Brothers. They're Portuguese. You didn't know that? Yeah.
Everybody in Providence is Portuguese.
Everybody here is Portuguese. Yeah.
Yep.
Huh. All right.
I love them.
They're trash.
You can have a seat if you want and watch.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, honey.
We're not quite done.
I interrupt you. I just was feeling like clam cakes were for dinner. Damn it.
I'll take you for a lobster roll later. We'll go for have that donut. Go ahead. You can have the donut. No, I was using it as a prop. She says she wants clam cakes.
I'm not seeing, it doesn't appear that it's the new 3-nanometer. There's no mention of it being 3-nanometer processor on the Apple Watch. Or is it 4?
That's interesting. I wonder what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's capacity?
Could be.
They're absolutely going to want to have as much available for the iPhone line because they're, they can get them a lot more bang for the buck. Particularly with all the improvements they made to the new CPU for the 15 Pros.
These are the chips that fell off the assembly line last year, and they just repurposed them. Put them in a watch.
I thought it was interesting.
I love this, by the way. This Apple Watch is titanium and has a titanium band.
Yeah.
And it wears very well. I mean, I wear this every day. I knock it around, and there are no scratches. I think titanium is going to be a very nice material for the new iPhones, the iPhone
Pros.
Yeah,
and you notice that they didn't sell it as a point of, like, they didn't have, like, the Johnny Ive style, titanium has a unique history. It's a way to make this super, super light while still being durable and looking nice, and we bonded it with aluminum, not aluminium, but aluminum, because that's what it's called, for heat dissipation and for additional lightness.
And that's its green initiative too, right?
Because
it's more durable, so it's going to last longer. They talked about the non-pro iPhone because of the materials it's made from. It keeps its value much longer. So they're very much trying to be conscious of that even throughout, of saying, look, you can trade this in and still make a lot off of it, even whenever it's years down the line.
Of course, as I pointed out, the best way to get the maximum life is not to buy a new iPhone and just keep using your perfectly good iPhone for years and years and years and years. They're not going to say that.
No, but that's absolutely true too. That's why I'm surprised. Like when we talked earlier about how much they hit the button of, hey, we're environmental. The fact that there's so much longevity in these devices is an environmental plus, because you have fewer of them that are simply become e-waste. Which also makes me wonder, like, why when they didn't like hammer about repairability as, again, a way of increasing longevity and therefore, again, keeping electronics out of the landfill. They did mention, was it on the both the Pro and the regular one, or just the Pro, about how they did redesign it repairability in mind. That's easier to remove. If you break the back, the rear glass, it's easier to replace without having to essentially tunnel in through to perform eye surgery by like tunneling in through the bottom and drilling up through the top.
I thought that was interesting. It felt like Apple has gone kicking and screaming to the right to repair.
But once they did,
they've changed their mind. They're supporting the right to repair bill in California, yeah, which will change it nationwide, of course. And they made a point of, hey, it's easier to repair. You can fix this back glass better.
I think that's a combination of they've had enough time to figure out how to design phones so that they can accommodate that, whilst also seeing the writing on the wall that we can't fight this fight at the EU, the UK, the United States, Australia, everywhere. It would be nice enough if we could simply redesign these phones so that, and also remember that if they make their phones, if they make their phones and their computers easier to repair, that means that when everyone comes into the Genius Bar who needs a fix goes out much faster, because the people behind the scenes can swap out a board or swap out a screen much
faster. They'll have a machine that'll do that back. I think that glass back gets broken at least as often as the glass front. That's probably
it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that keeps the iPhone ugly, because you'll probably get around to fixing a broken screen. A broken back, you'll just sort of like live with the indignity.
Exactly.
And it's rather than pay for a repair.
No new AirPods announced, just a new case. There was some rumor that perhaps we would see a new generation slapped on there, where we would just see minor improvements to perhaps the noise cancellation. It appears, as far as I can tell, if you want the new case, you will have to buy a new pair of AirPods Pro.
Oh, the case isn't sold separately.
The case is not currently sold separately, or announced that it will be sold separately.
So that would be a lot to buy a new case just because you like the USB-C charging.
I agree.
I mean, they offered that though before, where you could go from non-MagSafe to MagSafe. Just bought a new case for it.
I think also, though, that a lot of times it's folks who run the end of the, a lot of times when they're doing this, it's not so much replace a perfectly good one. It's the one that you have been kind of putting off, and it's now time.
I
gave my older one to my son, and so I've been kind of just waiting for the new one to come out to buy something. So my timing is perfect.
Yes. Oh, also $29 for the Lightning to USB, or excuse me, the USB-C to Lightning adapter.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
$29.
Oh, that's appalling.
Well, that's for the Apple logo one. I bet you can get it.
I'm sure
a knockoff MFI from AliExpress for like 10 cents plus the fire insurance.
That is just is out of control. $29. That's crazy.
Interestingly, the USB-C to USB-C cable that is woven is $19. So this adapter
is that a Lightning MFI?
Yeah, I think so.
Apple has to pay their own license fee.
we're included in themselves.
they're going to join the Epic lawsuit against themselves.
Can't wait to see the discovery in that one. That should be fun.
Running from the lawyer's table to the defendant's box, back to the lawyer's table, back to the witness box. Yeah.
They did talk a lot about the new A17 Pro chip, not Bionic Pro, right?
Mm.
And in particular, I was impressed by the neural processing units. This is something Intel's going to put neural processing units into their new chip in the fall. We expect Microsoft at their event in 10 days to talk a lot about NPUs. That's the term they use, NPUs, in their new surfaces and so forth. You need these if you want to do these AI things, especially if you want to do on-device AI. And so there's a lot of cores devoted to the neural processing on this thing.
Yeah, they're mentioning up to 35 trillion ops per second. It's It's pretty bad. They're also making a huge deal of if you're Alex, if you're sick of them talking about the environment, like they spent a big chunk of time talking about gaming on this device. It was almost as if they were saying that they were making
please make some games.
They're making a big deal about the new GPU that they put in. They're basically calling it a desktop class GPU with like onboard hardware ray tracing, of quoting fastest chip ever on any smartphone.
It's really interesting because ray tracing only came to desktop GPUs a couple of years ago with NVIDIA. Yeah. Right. And the fact that they're now building that hardware into a phone, it's almost bragging rights, because I can't imagine there are any iPhone games using ray tracing.
I think it's partially to encourage people to start thinking about those things. Right. I felt like the image that they showed for ray tracing, as someone who's done a lot of ray tracing, I was like, I don't know if you get that much out of it. And like it looked like a lot.
Explain
of global illumination.
What ray tracing is compared to the way they do lighting today.
Yeah, so ray tracing, I mean, for instance, the Queen ship that I worked on Star Wars has no ray tracing. that's all what we call Phong rendering with environmental reflections, which they talked about a little bit.
But you had to draw those in by hand, didn't you?
No. I had a big sphere that is an environment that would reflect on, you know, basically when it figured out what the reflection was, it just bounced out to a sphere.
And the camera moves on the edge of the sphere so that it knows.
Well, as you move or the object moves, it just sees a different part of the sphere, but it's not actually looking at the scene, which would be much more complex.
The whole point of ray tracing is to simulate the way the light bounces off of objects.
But typically it's ray tracing. So I bounce here, I bounce there. It's mostly for reflection. So what we see as really realistic lighting is usually global illumination, which is a much harder thing. People are talking about how global illumination is impacting that, but global illumination rendering is a much more complex thing that still takes a lot of time, even on a desktop processor to do. So that ray tracing is an easier one. Yes, the reflections are a little bit more accurate. I felt like the jump between what they showed before and after might have been a little extra than what, you know, like it's better, but I feel like it's more to what you said. I mean, as someone who worked on a feature film without ray tracing, with a silver ship, I'm like, you know, like you can.
Does it help with real time rendering though? I mean, your silver ship could be rendered. In fact, wasn't rendered in real time. It had to take days, to render it.
45 minutes a frame.
Yeah.
A frame.
Yeah.
But I think that the issue is that I think that their gaming is already pretty popular on the iPhone. Like it's been pretty disruptive, and so.
Apple Arcade games are not AAA titles. They don't have ray tracing. Right. The graphics don't even look that good. Yeah.
What sells new iPhones though is really, really detailed. What they're trying to show there to the user is. To the game developers is that you've got this great processor that you can take a lot of advantage of that you're probably not taking advantage of right now. And so, you know, because that sells phones.
If you start writing to metal, then your stuff will also look good on the new Macs.
Yeah. And remember that the capper for this whole segment on gaming was saying that, hey, here are two titles that used to be console only or PC only that are coming to mobile for the very first time.
4-year old AAA titles.
but still. And remember you match this in with their new game emulation engine, and they're really making a play not for the iPhone 15 Pro to become like a legitimate gaming handheld gaming device in its own right, but for the 15 Pro, kind of like the Vision Pro, to get enough of the right developers interested that by the time they get to the 16 or the 17, maybe the people who have $1,000 for a PC handheld the higher end devices now are these really big like handheld tablets that have gaming controllers on the sides of them that they cost $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000. I think that they are making a play for making the iPhone 15 or 16, 17 a very credible option for that. If it is one of the few devices where you don't have to stream a AAA title to it, you can actually have it run natively.
Yeah.
And the fact that Assassin's Creed 2024, the next Assassin's Creed, will come out on the iPhone is very interesting. And actually is a game that might be very nice on the iPhone.
Assassin's Creed Mirage and Resident Evil 4, they're mentioning.
Yeah, Resident Evil 4.
Okay. And another theme that they didn't hammer or spend a lot of time on, but they kept on saying over and over again was, and this is all being processed on your phone. It's not being processed in the cloud.
Right,
and
they just
kept on tapping on that. Like just, they're just constantly tapping on, we're doing all the work on your phone.
Is that privacy that they're talking about?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So it's privacy. It also means you don't have to be connected. It means that there's a lot of advantages, but what's really pointing at, and they'll keep on coming back to that, is while they didn't talk about privacy, they're talking about how much they're doing on the phone, which means that you're not going to the cloud. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Well, for gaming, surely it's the problem of latency. And saying that if you're gaming, you either want to be running on device or you want to be running like within 8 feet of a Wi-Fi 6 access point. But yeah, you're right. They did say when they were talking about, I think they were talking about privacy. This is the only places where they even gave passing mentions to privacy is when they were talking about the machine learning models that are running on device itself because of the neural engines they've got on the new CPUs, where they weren't spelling it out. They weren't hitting the button as hard as they were a couple of years ago, but it seemed incidental, almost like this way that they talked about USB-C, which is, this is a detail we want to cover. We're not going to not talk about it. We're going to mention it here, but it seemed, like I said at the top, it seemed interesting that they weren't pressing that as a unique thing about buying an Apple product versus buying an Android product, which is, because it's one of the things that Android has absolutely no answer to when it comes to the security and the privacy of an iPhone.
And speaking of the cloud, Marques Brownlee said the loudest applause in the at the event
More
at
iCloud,
the Apple campus was for new iCloud storage tiers, which surprises me. I'm sure Marques was applauding when they mentioned his name at the very beginning of the event as well, but that surprises me. Are we excited about now 6 terabyte or whatever it was?
And even with a family storage? Account, I have my family and I have not come close to the 2 terabytes. That's what I have is 2 terabytes right now. But yeah. I know some people
$59.99 for the 12 terabyte, $30 a month. This is a month for the 6 terabyte. I mean, that's a lot of money, I guess, if you had a big family.
If you had a big family, and I guess if it's maybe a work account almost where you're storing all of these huge video files, that could be a reason to have that. So you can have all of those videos on all devices and lots of devices with lots of backups for them. Cause I think that's the biggest storage taker upper. The biggest storage user on my iCloud are my own backups. My other family members, they're like taking up, you know, minuscule amounts in comparison.
Yeah. And speaking of storage, so one of the other rumors was that they're going to be increasing the price of the Pro Max. So Jaws kind of offered a bone, saying they're keeping the max storage at 1 terabyte. So there wasn't the rumor of 2 terabytes as max wasn't the same, but they're saying that the intro price remains exactly the same, and we are giving you 256 gigabytes of storage at the intro price.
Okay, so that's
those rumors were wrong.
It was
they were completely wrong. Sorry, Micah.
That's what I was trying to understand, because he did say it very clearly, where he said something about the storage space. So what are you saying, Andy? That nothing changed on the storage or on the price, or
you're saying it's
you get twice the storage for the same price.
The difference is that I scrolled down to my notes. So it's $1,199 with 256 gigabytes of storage, quote, which matches last year's price at this storage level, unquote.
Oh, okay.
So I think the I have to double check, but I think that meant that you could buy an iPhone 14 Pro for less than $1,199, but it would not have had 256 gigabytes of storage.
Ah, okay.
So in a way, I have to double check. I haven't had time to check on last year's prices, but it would mean that a 256 gigabyte top of the line iPhone Pro costs exactly the same this year as it was last year.
I think
that would be the sort of
the big deal is that they don't have 128 gigabyte.
SKU. Well, last year
it
you could
starts
have
at 256.
Got it.
They also don't have a phone that takes AA batteries, so that's
But you could have gotten a cheaper Pro Max last year if you went with 128. Is that right?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. So this is the same price for 256 as last year. It's $13.99 for 512 gigs. It's $15.99 for 1 terabyte. I think that's the same as last year.
I've got it here. Yeah, it was $10.99. You get the 128 gig model for 256 gigs. It was $11.99.
Oh, so then it's Does that mean?
But there is no 1099.
Yeah, there's no 1099 anymore. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that's probably why the rumor mill thought that the prices were getting increased, because the base model's gone.
Yeah. 128 gig. They shifted
but
up.
That's the base fine. Model. I mean, it's just the same way Apple got rid of 8 gig phones.
Thank goodness.
Back in the day. And 32 gig phones back in the day. It's an acknowledgement that we're using a lot more storage than we used to, because of these big phone sizes.
But nonetheless, like, storage prices are plummeting. So it's not like 10 years ago when this was one of the most price sensitive components to put into the device. So I mean, I don't my philosophy on the Pro line is that I think Apple within reason can charge what they want for it if what they're giving us is, as they did this year, all the features that you would have paid extra for last year, you're getting for free with the iPhone 14. You're getting the same CPU, you're getting the same camera system, you're getting basically all the dynamic island, and now dynamic island is all across the product range. Everything that would have made the iPhone 14 Pro unique is now table stakes for the cheap iPhone 15 nothing. And now now the extra expensive one is for the people who want future features or the top of the line features in the titanium case right now. So I'm not bothered by that, especially considering that you can still buy the iPhone 14, you can still buy the iPhone 13 for lower prices. The iPhone SE for $429, I think, is still on the price list. They did strike the iPhone Mini, which is getting a lot of, which I'm sure its fans are going to be disappointed by. But the fact of the matter
Jason
is,
Jason Snell will be sad. He loved that.
I
Mini.
Know. Yeah. But I would be upset about a hidden price increase if it weren't for the fact that whatever amount of money you want to spend for an iPhone, you can spend, so long as you weren't looking to spend like $200 ultra budget Android kind of levels for this.
It
you
did
can
look
find like, a phone at that level. So
it did look like a nice range. You know, you go from the SE.
Yeah,
to the
I did.
Pro Max,
I thought that was a good plenty for people to, you know, afford to purchase if they want to. I've got a couple of family members looking for a new phone, and
I can't remember if they. It really stuck out to me how much they were saying that, hey, and our carriers are offering lots of discounts up to $800, $900, $1,000 with trade-in. And I can't remember them making that part of the presentation before, as opposed to just accepting that people, AT&T and Verizon and all these other international carriers, are going to promote that themselves, almost as if they know that the market for smartphones is tightening up. The iPhone is still doing very well, but even the iPhone is softening. Tim Cook has had to mention that in the last two quarterly earnings reports that, yeah, we're having a harder time. Essentially, we're having a harder time selling iPhones because people are not spending money on phones anymore. So it's almost as if they're trying to get the word out that whatever we come in with, whatever amount of money you have, we will make it work. We'll get, as long as it's got four wheels and a steering wheel, we'll make you an offer on it. Come on in. Bring it on a trailer. We don't care.
Yeah, it's been kind of wild seeing how carriers, even some older models of phones, the amount they'll pay for them to get you into a newer model has been pretty wild thus far. What were you going to say, Leo?
I was just going to say, order a new Apple Watch or Apple Watch Ultra today. For delivery on the 22nd. The phones, you can't order it until Friday, and it's probably the usual 9 a.m. Pacific Friday. I'm not sure what it is, or midnight GMT, or I don't know what they do. But Friday for order, and also 22nd for delivery. And we have one more detail. Sonoma, the next version of Mac OS, will be available on the 26th.
It's a little bit early. Usually
which
it's in October,
is interesting. Yeah, 9 to 5 Mac says that suggests, as Mark Gurman has suggested, there will not be an October event for the Mac anyway.
Yeah, I think between Gurman and Minch Kuo, they both seem to agree that we're not going to see new Macs for the rest of the year, and certainly not an event in October. So if they're refreshing an iPad, that won't happen at an event. It'll be a press release.
Yeah. So that's
the rumors.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Did they say when iOS 17 comes out?
I believe it's Tuesday.
See that? A week from today.
Yeah, I think it's coming out this coming. I just had read that. Of course, it flew out of my head.
Yeah.
But it's very soon. If it's not next week, then I mean, it's sometime next week, almost certainly. We'll be able to get that. In fact, I was able to get the release candidate while we were chatting. So the release candidate is out, and iOS will launch this coming week. I wonder, should we break one more time?
Yeah, let's do a break unless there's anything else. You guys, did we leave anything out that you thought was
Monday,
important?
Monday. I'll confirm for sure. Monday, September 18th. So
that's the new iOS.
Less than a week from today. Yeah, that's when we'll see iOS and iPad.
You know what's good about that? You can talk about it on Tuesday
exactly.
on iOS today.
Very excited about that.
The only other thing I had like on my list here was not surprising that they didn't talk much about Siri either, except for how much better it performs because of the new neural engines and the new hardware. Because this would have been another place to mention that, hey, our smart assistant has gotten smarter and more useful than ever. And because when they talk about Siri, Shlomo.
No,
but they're basically talking about, hey, and now you can use Shlomo to ask your watch about your health information. And now when you bring your, I'm not surprised they didn't spend any time really talking about artificial intelligence apart from saying, hey, here's how this wonderful like new tap gesture works, because they're not an artificial intelligence on the side of the box company. There are they are an artificial intelligence baked into the product company, but it's not helping Shlomo emerge from being a footnote and what could have been a really, really more useful feature.
That said, I really have to quickly point, please, you should watch this last Tech News Weekly that I did. Last Thursday, I spoke to someone from the information, name, of course, escapes me. But there was a great conversation about how, Wayne Ma, thank you, who was talking about how within Apple, there's a team that is working on using this conversational AI, not in the way that you might think, where we're just talking to it like a chatbot. But instead, what they're doing is they're figuring out a way to use it to basically translate what we want to happen into something that the computer can understand, and leveraging shortcuts to make it happen. So you could say to Shlomo, hey, set up my calendar so I can have this event, and then also turn down the brightness on my phone. And could you also please make the lights set to green while I'm doing this all at once? Yeah. And it could do that. And what's clever about that is it's Apple's way of avoiding a chatbot that starts being racist or starts being this or starts being that. If you don't let it just be a conversation between you and the chatbot, but instead let it translate what a human is saying into something the computer can understand on the back end, very clever way of looking at this.
It'll probably still turn the lights off in a very anti-Semitic way. this technology is fundamentally flawed. But yeah, that's why.
Well, if it's named Shlomo, I'd be surprised. I don't know. Yes.
We'll probably talk about it next week, but there are a couple of stories about Apple spending millions a day on its AI mission. And just as you said, Micah, I mean, when people talk about large language models, they don't know they're talking about large language models. Mm-hmm. They think they keep talking about chatbots when it really is one of the most powerful things, not just be able to have a conversation with an AI and get answers and have it write stuff and do things like that. It really is about like, I recorded all during the keynote. I had like my phone like recording the audio. At the end of the recording, I had it take the transcript of you making it, save it as a Google Doc, and then being able to apply an LLM to say, could you please summarize and bullet note like this entire transcript so that I could find exactly what was said and find 02 like the actual details in the transcript. That's the sort of thing that I think that Apple is really, really eager to bake into its products, when it can do things like have Shlomo say, summarize my email today, or even just the simple thing was, were there any really important emails today? Because that is such a simple sentence that every human being understands the inherent nature of, but for an AI, for a piece of software to understand that, okay, that means that if it comes from this list of people or from a stranger, but it's the language is in this particular tone or contains this kind of information or data, or it refers back to something that's A, B, and C, that's the sort of thing where we get real power, even if it's not necessarily connected to a speech language engine.
One more data point. I just checked to order the Ultra, and the trade-in on an Ultra, my last year's Ultra in perfect condition, is $380. So they almost cuts the price in half. On the Ultra, of course, mine is in perfect condition, but with the titanium and the better, sapphire screen and stuff, there really aren't any scratches.
Trade in the band that you first picked with it?
They didn't mention the band, but if they want it, they can have it. I'm that rubber band. I never wear it.
The trade in.
Yeah, I don't know. The way it works, you pay the full price, and then I guess they're going to give you a box, and if you send it back, you'll get the credit for $380, which is... That's not, one of the ways Apple gets people into these devices is they are very generous on the trade-in.
That's not bad. $3.5 a month to use this watch, and you get the balance of that back and apply it to a new one. That's not bad.
That's a good way of thinking about it. Actually, stop that. Stop that, Andy. That's gonna...
You're buying it on my card. What are you talking
about? Oh, I don't need an Ultra 2. We're good there. But I will be draining the bank account for the phone, so don't worry.
Yes. All right. All right.
Yeah, you can pinch, Leo.
I'm pinching you, is it?
Leo, when you come back to the office, you might find like the refrigerator, a couple appliances missing from the kitchen.
You can't trade in an espresso machine for an Apple Watch. Just don't even try.
Oh, put that down, Ant.
Why does this conference room say Airbnb on it, Mike? Oh, no, don't worry about it. It's a new sponsor.
We'll take a break, but when we come back, I will... Oh, look. Pinch it. Oh,
that's dangerous.
I'm crashing ahead.
See, that gesture is multiply useful. What is that from?
Yeah, what is that?
It's in the hall.
It's in the hall. Anthony, pinch your head. Yeah. I pinch your head.
I'm crashing your head, little fat heads.
Yes. When we come back, I'm going to ask you all what you're buying and if the colors of the new Pro suit. And if they do, which color you'll be going with. You're watching Mac Break Weekly, the giddy Mac Break Weekly on the day of an Apple event. We're still coming off the high. Our show today brought to you by ExpressVPN. You know, everybody's talking about ChatGPT and AI, how it's changing the world, Microsoft and Google, and yes, Apple, all investing heavily in AI. In case of Microsoft and Google, it's Bing and Google Search. But guess what? They haven't changed. They're still, this is why we like Apple, right? They're still the big tech companies, Google and Microsoft, that determine your search results. Now they get to cut out a whole new layer of the information you see. Why should they link to third-party websites in the search results when they can let their robot generate the perfect answer to your question? We don't need the Wall Street Journal. We've got AI. This is one reason among many you might want to use a VPN so that you don't give all that information over to those giant tech companies or your ISP, by the way, who has every legal right to watch what you do online and sell it on to data brokers and the highest bidder. If you've wondered why there is so much of our data in the hands of data brokers, now you know. The way to stop it, ExpressVPN. It adds a layer of protection between you and the data brokers. The ExpressVPN app, which works everywhere, by the way, iOS, Android, Mac, Windows, hides your IP address, that one that identifies you, and instead uses an ExpressVPN IP address, one that others are using, so you're anonymizing yourself. It's very easy to use, too. I've been using ExpressVPN ever since I found them. You can put it on your router. They sell really good routers, by the way. We've tested those routers, and we like them. So they have great routers, or you can put it on some other models of routers. You get all that information at ExpressVPN's website. Once you've got it on your router, your device, you tap one button, bingo, you're protected. And ExpressVPN goes the extra mile to keep that connection secure. One subscription will cover up to 5 devices at the same time. The whole family can use it too. Stop letting data brokers and big tech leech your data freely. Go to expressvpn.com/MacBreak right now. 3 extra months free, 1, 2, 3, with a 1-year package, expressvpn.com/MacBreak, MACBREAK, to get protected with a VPN rated #1 by TechRadar, by CNET, the only one I use, expressvpn.com/MacBreak. We thank them so much for supporting us on this special Mac Break Weekly with Andy, Alex, Micah Sargent in the big chair there in the studio, me with Mom. Aww. She went back to sleep. She went back to sleep. She was in the little chair. I know, Andy, you're not going to buy the new iPhone, right?
No, but as usual, I'm intrigued. I might be buying a new phone next year. And as usual, Apple just does so many really cool things. My Pixel phone and an iPhone, I think they're like 90% overlap, but boy, the 10% that the iPhone does is really compelling. I'm more compelled about the Apple Watches. And year after year, I get more and more frustrated. But
that's why you have to get an iPhone, right? Because yeah, exactly. You can't use it with your Android. Right.
Yeah, but I'm surprised I still can't. I can't even use it with my iPad or my MacBook because it would seem like this is the only hole I've got. Like it's the only place where Apple hasn't got me yet, which is the phone. And if I were to say, well, look, hands down, it is the best fitness watch for general users out there. And it's just head and shoulders above everybody else. I would buy one just to use it with my iPad. And then maybe again in next year or 2 years time, I'm like, yeah, but you know, I could do so much more. It would be so much more than just a fitness watch. If I had an iPhone, you know what? They're 90% the same anyway. And maybe this will be, so I'm still surprised. And as usual, like they start off with the dramatic video montage of people whose lives were saved because of Apple.
Oh my God. Like, was that something?
Technology. Yeah, and they, at least it was nicer. It was more like, hey, here are people having birthday parties, people having like, hey, these real people are having birthdays they didn't think they might not have had if they had not had like an Apple Watch or an Apple iPhone with the emergency satellite SOS at their backs. And as usual, it's like the actual quote, Tim actually said, nothing's more important than helping save lives. And as usual, I have to say, yeah, but screw you if you don't have an your life isn't worth very much to us if you don't own an iPhone.
Nothing's more important to us than you buy an iPhone and then we save your life. That's what's important.
Oh, let's get it right. $3,500 in laptops and tablets. Screw you. We want another $900, Chachi. No, please. I want my life. Yeah, well then, prove it. Fork it over, dude.
How about you? I know I don't even have to ask you, Micah, because
you don't
I'm
know what color.
You. I just want to know what color you're going to get.
Yeah, I want to get the blue titanium if I can. I've got that one saved in the app, but natural titanium will be the backup. And I've already
they're limited because I guess of this process, or maybe not.
Well, that's we don't know yet how much of the limitation is in place because of the new chip with the new process and because of
not the chip so much as the titanium, right? They can't dye it.
Oh, I see what you mean because it takes 14 hours.
Yeah, new metal process. Yeah. You know what? You can make a 3-nanometer phone in almost any color, I believe.
This is true.
I may be wrong.
This is true. I just, as Andy was talking about earlier, with the Apple Watch not having the new chip, part of that could have been because they were using all that they were able to make for this.
Those leftovers.
For this new iPhone. I will be getting a new fine woven case as well.
I like the fine woven. I think that's nice.
We'll see. I'm curious how textured it's going to be. And it's supposed to arrive this Friday. So you can already order the cases. So we'll see.
A week from Friday. Oh, you mean you can get the case now?
You can order the case
now. I hate it when they do that.
I know. Because then you look at it and you go,
look, there's a package on your doorstep from AI. Oh, my God, it's here. And then it's just a case.
It's not the phone.
Yeah. I like wallet cases and Apple's.
If you're disappointed, think how disappointed that UPS driver was when he broke open the box and risked his job.
I think fine woven actually is going to be a hit, I suspect. I don't know. We'll see. I think I'm going to go with the natural titanium. I love the titanium look of my Ultra.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It's worn so well. I think that's a good color, and it's natural. It's not.
And I like the new brushed. It's not artificial. The brushed look of the sides of this.
Yeah,
case,
that's really what nice. I'm going to go with that. Yeah, I think so. Alex, you going to get a new one?
I am. Maybe. No. I don't know.
It's Carlita's saying.
I'm still on the, you know, as far as the watch goes, I'm on the, you know, I kind of feel like I got the Ultra. I could probably give it back on the phone. I think that, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to outside of storage.
I'll tell you why I love Lisa, because before the event was over, she said, because I was saying, I'm not going to get the new phone. I'm happy with mine. I'm not going to get the new watch. She says, you're getting a new watch and you're getting the new phone. Huh. And she says, I'm getting the new phone because she loved the camera even before we saw the Pro version of it. Very excited about the camera.
The phone is a gimme for me. I mean, I think that the phone I'm going to get. The one thing I looked at my phone, and I have a 1 terabyte on my current phone.
Do you use it up?
I used 200, no. 200 gigs.
Yeah, I'm so around 250, like, something like that.
But yeah. I'm kind of like, but the thing is but that
what
I'm,
if, maybe.
I haven't shot a lot of ProRes on it.
And you
and
might.
So I keep on thinking that, and I might. So it's hard for me to, because the one time I got stingy about storage was my studio, and I still kicked my butt. On my own butt on that. I got 1 terabyte. I was like, oh, I don't need a lot of storage on my studio, but it's so fast that it really hurts to have a, you know, to try to go out external. So I kind of feel like I, you know, I'm on the, on how big the phone is. The watch, I'm really on the, I mean, my watch is fine. I got the Ultra. I don't need another.
There's
Ultra.
No need. There's zero need.
I think I'm just going to, I usually
skip the
watch. In
fact, can't you do the pinch on your, doesn't that work on existing? Is that going to be an iOS 17 feature, or is that?
I thought that was.
It was a hardware feature.
Yeah, it's a hardware feature of just this new series of watches.
Okay. Yeah. So that the pinch is tempting. I don't know how often I would use.
I'm confused by that question. $350
on
it does work on. I mentioned earlier all of the if you use the accessibility version, it works on very early Apple watches.
It
doesn't. So the way that they changed it is you can interact a lot more in this new version than you are able to do with the accessibility.
It's the same pinch, but you could do different things.
I mean, I have to admit that mine's a little warped in the sense that I feel like I should probably get it for the show. That I should have it for the show. No. So I feel like, as we talk about a show. So, but I, to figure out whether I would actually use it or not. But I think that, the phone, I get the phone every year because of that. Generally, the camera gets better. Like the rest of the phone doesn't really like what they put, the hunk of metal that they put it in, and the screen and the interaction doesn't mean anything to me. I just look at like, okay, well, announce the camera and let me know whether I'm going to get it or not. And the only time I've ever skipped an iPhone is when the camera update wasn't impressive, and I have no idea where they go next. Like they've already figured it out. You know, like a year ago, they knew what the next phone is going to look like, right? And so they know what it is, but I don't know what that is. And I don't know how they go much higher than what they, I think at some point they have they can't make the phone dramatically better.
I think they're at that point.
I don't know.
These prison lenses were the big thing.
I think, but they haven't run out of steam, and every year I go, well, I don't know what they would do next, but
you know, the real winner is of today. And I just remembered. AAA is the real winner.
I was saying during the event when they were talking about how your phone will call for you can use the satellite phone to call for a auto repair, like a tire replacement or a jump start, or you ran out of gas. And I said, oh, that's bad for AAA. And then they said, brought to you by AAA.
Exactly.
Now we know it's good for AAA. They said it will work with other services.
And as a benefactor of AAAA last year, I love AAA.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, everybody, I think it's going to be everybody with an iPhone has AAA now.
The five going down is so much bigger when you're standing outside your car than when you're driving.
As the owner exclusively of cars that can nominally be called cars, because oftentimes they decide that they don't want to be a car. They want to be a static object of academic, the first time you're like, you know what, if I had AAA, I would not be screwed right now. That's not a whole lot of money to spend, is it? And the once or twice a year when it's like, and of course you break down on a highway where they didn't say, it's not as though like the cell networks decided, hey, you know what, where people could be making a lot of calls from, this part of I-95 as you transition into Maine. I think that's going to be
Andy Anatko did not expect to get a flat tire on his way to Las Vegas, but it's a good thing he had the iPhone 15 with satellite help.
Yeah. Those videos are going to be really like a lot less dramatic.
Boring. Yeah,
like,
very boring.
Well, you know, the guy at Tire Pro told me that was looking a little bald there, but I said, you know, just fill the fluids. Okay. And then you know what happened? I was on my way to the donkey to get a nice coffee. And so, well, I mean, what am I going to do? Walk 1.1 miles home? No, I called the AAA. And
I would have missed my birthday party thanks to this locked out phone.
All right, by the time the car came, that ice in that coffee was nearly melted. If I had a satellite phone with me.
In fact, speaking of which, I got to go get a nice donkey.
Yes.
But do you want to do picks?
I thought those were our picks. We picked our phones.
That's our picks. Pick your phone.
I'm happy.
All right. Those are the picks, everybody.
It's all good.
Pick your friend's phone.
We
got to
get Alex out of here. Thank you, everybody. I'm glad. Thanks to Mom for making a surprise appearance.
Thanks, Mom.
She's like Beetlejuice. If I say her name too many times, she might come back. So
no, she was like that guest on the old Johnny Carson show where
Mrs. Miller would walk in. Yeah,
Johnny, I was taping my special across the hallway. I had to stop by. I heard you were taping.
There was, if you're old enough to remember, and I think I'm the only one here old enough to remember, a woman who was famous just for being Mrs. Miller, an audience member that they would bring up on stage.
Yeah. That's what I thought you were talking about.
You were talking about Bob Hope. That's a little different. I'll tell Mom you thought of her as Bob Hope. Let's put it that way.
She is charming, and she does have a $100 million real estate empire that anybody would envy.
Andy, when are you going to be on GBH next?
I misspoke last week when I said I'd be on this week. I was actually on last week, but next week I'm at the Boston Public Library Friday at 12:30. You can stream it live or later at WGBHnews.org. Because we are in the nice studio, you can also watch me on YouTube. You can watch last week's thing too. Go to WGBH News channel on YouTube.
Awesome. Alex Lindsay is at officehours.global. Do you put that after hours analysis of the Apple event online, or is that just you got to be there?
It's just the moment. We're all there. We're just hanging out, talking. It's pretty casual. So, yeah, there's nowhere to see it.
See, I always miss it because I'm busy.
Yeah, exactly. We're both doing the same thing. Yeah, it's fun. It's pretty relaxed. Again, we break it down in different ways. So we're talking about the cameras and the transitions. And so it's not just I don't know if I could watch it at this point without that. So, we had Feather, I made Feather a pick a couple weeks ago after we saw it at Seagraph, and we had the Feather team on this morning.
Cool.
And from Korea, and there, the Korean team came on, the designer and the community host, and it's just an incredible app. So we had a great time. We had the team from the Thursday Night Football on last week on Thursday talking about understanding HDR, understanding HDR and shading and so on and so forth. I think like 100 people in the world know what they talked about during, have ever heard of what they talked about on last Thursday. So it's really exciting. And had a thing about mixing stations where you could control your mixer from lots of software last week. So there's a lot of good content. And we're covering IBC on Friday and Saturday. I will not be. The European team of what we're doing will be covering IBC in Amsterdam on Friday and Saturday.
So it really is officehours.global all around the world. And of course, if you want to hire Alex, zero, he'll keep you from doing that 20-minute bit with Octavia Spencer, save you a lot of money. 090.media. Yeah,
there was a great show last night with Talking Heads.
What?
I saw
you
I
did
saw
the Talking Heads show.
I cannot confirm it nor
oh, man. I saw they were reuniting
on an IMAX screen. Yeah.
It was really fun.
It was really fun to watch.
Oh yeah, of course.
clever.
Of course. Mr. Marcus Sargent, you're going to, of course, have lots to talk about on Tuesday on iOS Today. We will talk about this on Sunday on Ask the Tech Guys. And then Thursday.
Thursday is when I do Tech News Weekly. And I do want to do a quick little plug here. I am raising money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So if you're not busy this Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific, consider tuning in twitch.tv/relayfm. I'll be running a D&D campaign where you donate to make things happen in the game so you can summon monsters, give the players potions to help them out, summon random NPCs. I'm going to be kitted out in a costume. If we raise $2,500, I'll change costumes. I'm looking to raise $5,000. So it's going to be a lot of fun. These are high-level characters, level 20 characters, which is kind of the highest you can get in D&D. And all of the money goes to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So much fun this Saturday, 3 p.m. Pacific. So consider tuning in.
I didn't know you were a dungeon master as well, along with everything else.
a jack of all trades, if you will.
Very impressed. Thank you so much for filling in the big seat, Mr. Micah Sargent.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, of course, to Alex Lindsay and Andy Anako. And thanks to all of you who join us. A lot of what we do here is sponsored by the club, now 7,000 members strong. We're getting there. We're up to 1% of our total audience. I'd like to get to 3%, 4%, or 5%. Show them. They said it couldn't be done. What do you get? Lots. Ad-free versions of all of our shows, plus shows we don't put out anywhere else, like Hands On Macintosh with that guy right there, Micah Sargent, Hands On Windows with Paul Thurrott, The Untitled Linux Show with Jonathan Bennett, Home Theater Geeks with Scott Wilkinson. We use it to launch new shows. That's how This Week in Space got started. You can get into our Club Twit Discord, which is a wonderful hang, a really great social network for people who are Twit fans. And a lot of events, special fireside events, are coming up, too. You want to check those out. If you have not yet joined, $7 a month, twit.tv/clubtwit. We thank you so much, all of our Club Twit members, for your support. It's what lets us do what we do. I'll be back next week in studio, and I will see you all then. In fact, I'll be back next Sunday in studio with Ask the Tech Guys with Micah.
Yay!
In the meanwhile, I'm sorry to say, I've got to tell you this, and I'm going to do it myself. Let's get back to work, because break time is over. Bye-bye.
Hey, we should talk Linux. It's the operating system that runs the internet, but your game consoles, cell phones, and maybe even the machine on your desk. But you already knew all that. What you may not know is that Twit now has a show dedicated to it, the Untitled Linux Show. Whether you're a Linux pro, a burgeoning sysadmin, or just curious what the big deal is, you should join us on the Club Twit Discord every Saturday afternoon for news, analysis, and tips to sharpen your Linux skills. And then make sure you subscribe to the Club Twit exclusive Untitled Linux Show. Wait, you're not a Club Twit member yet? Well, go to twit.tv/clubtwit and sign up. Hope to see you there.